Okay, so this is a re-recording of the second part of the discussion about Erev Chatzeros involving non-Jewish residents on the chatzer, on the yard, or non-observant residents on the yard. The last point that we had made in the first part of the shiur was regarding the reasoning of Shama Yomod Mimasav, the concern that you might learn from the non-Jewish neighbors, and that's the source for the rabbinic disincentive of living in such a yard, saying that you would have to rent his rishus in order to be able to transport in the chatzer on Shabbos. So we had said that Shema Yomod, this concern of lest you learn from him, seems to shape the gzera. It seems to shape the decree of requiring schiras rishus, in that the gzera doesn't apply if there is no Shema Yomod concern, if there's no concern that you might learn from him, despite what we said regarding the Ribbis discussion. Meaning, for example, if the non-Jew is out of town, I'm not concerned for Shema Yomod Mimasa that you're going to learn from him, and therefore we say no rental is needed, even though he's a resident on the yard. The point that I wanted to add to that is that the rule of exempting a single Jewish resident, a lone Jewish resident, from Schiras Rishus has low plug applications, as opposed to what we said regarding Shema Yilmod, where we said that where Shema Yilmod is a concern, then we will require a rental of the Rishus. Where Shema Yilmod is not a concern, we don't require a rental of the Rishus. In cases where somebody is a lone Jewish resident on the yard, we say that he doesn't have to do schiras rishus, whether there is really one resident or whether he simply has the halachic status of being a single resident. I'll explain what that means in a moment. In either case, we're going to say flat across the board, he doesn't require schiras rishus. And I have three examples of this. The first is Erev in Samachay Amud Beis, talking about the difference between the following two cases. Let's say you have an arrangement in which there is an inner yard and an outer yard, and generally speaking, in order for people in the inner yard, or in your house, I should say, really, in order for them to leave, they have to go through the outer area, whereas people in the outer area don't ever need to go through their inner area. And the Gemara differentiates between those two cases. The case in which you have a Jew in the outer yard and Jew and non-Jew in the inner one, as opposed to a case in which there's a Jew in the inner one and a Jew and a non-Jew reside in the outer one. We make a distinction between the two. Why? Because in the case in which you have a Jew living in the outer yard and a Jew and a non-Jew living in the inner one, we say that the Jew living in the inner one is afraid. Say the other way around. In a case in which you have a Jew living in the inner yard and a Jew and a non-Jew living in the outer yard, we say that the Jew living in the outer yard is afraid to remain there because he's concerned that maybe his co-resident decides one day, I don't like him, and decides to do away with him. And when the Jew who was living in the inner one comes passing through and says, hey, what happened to the Jew who was living here? The answer will be, he left. He's gone. So therefore, the Jew is insecure living in this outer one, and therefore he's not likely to remain there. As opposed to the case in which the Jew and the non-Jew live together in the inner yard, in which the Jew in the inner yard feels very comfortable, because he says, everybody knows if I disappear, that it's because he did something to me. And therefore he's confident that this fellow isn't going to do anything to him. So that's the difference between the two cases. Take a look in the Gemara where this may be slightly more clear. It's source Yadalit on the sheets. Ba'amine Rav Eliezer Merav. Rav Eliezer asks Rav, Yisrael benachri b'chitzona v'Yisrael b'pnimis mahu. In the event that you have Jew and non-Jew living in the outer yard, and a Jew living in the inner one, mahu, what's the rule going to be? Hasam, over there, when he says over there, he means a case in which there is Jew and non-Jew in the inner yard, and a Jew living in the outer one. So, taimu mishum d'shchiach d'dayer. There we say, it's common for the Jew to live in such an arrangement. Because the non-Jew knows that he's going to be held accountable for the fate of the Jew who's there. Therefore, he's comfortable living there. Therefore, we're going to require schiras rishus. But in this case, where it's the Jew and non-Jew in the outer yard, he says, I'll just tell him, he's gone, he walked away. the and therefore the Jew is comfortable living there, and therefore we should require schiras rishus. That's one side of it. Odoma, perhaps not. Hachanami mirsis to sever hashta asi yisrael v'chazili. Maybe not. Maybe we would say that the non-Jewish resident is just as concerned here, and concerned, and therefore the Jew feels comfortable living there. To sever hashta asi yisrael v'chazili, thinking that, you know what, any minute somebody could come along and catch me in the act. So Amar le'tein l'chacham v'yech kamod. Rav's answer was asur. Rav says that you would require schiras rishus in the case in which the Jew and non-Jew are in the outer yard. I am going to require schiras rishus. We make a distinction because we say a Jew is more likely to live there in such a case. However, and this is the key, we don't paskin that way. We don't follow this view. We say one resident is one resident, no matter what. Even though it's more common for him to live there. That's number one. Second case, which I think is a little bit more clear, is also a case from Samach Hayamud Beis. It's the case in which you have a Jew living in an inner yard. And there's a Jew and a non-Jew living in the outer yard. So the question is, what about the inner Jew carrying in the inner yard? Does he require schirus, or do we say no? He doesn't require schirus. After all, it is only one Jew living there. So you say to me, on the one hand, it's only one Jew living there. Why is there a question? But the reason there's a question is because in this case, he's very comfortable living there. He feels very happy living there. He's not insecure at all. And therefore, since it's common for a Jew to live in such a circumstance, shouldn't we require schiras rishus? So that's the question in Erev and Samach Hayamud Beis. Bo miname Rav. They asked Rav the question. Pnimi v'mekomo mahu. What about for the inner dwelling Jew to carry in his own space? V'amar lahen mutter. And his answer was that this is mutter. This is allowed. But isn't it common for Jews to live that way? Tosfos, their answers. You're right. However, it's source Tez Zion. He says, nonetheless, came into Rov Palim, Chad lo Shchiach lo Polug Rabbanon, V'shar v'chulhu. Since, generally speaking, you don't have one Jew living alone, therefore, even in a case in which you have one Jew living there and he's going to be comfortable and it'll even become common, nonetheless, the rule across the board is one Jewish resident, lo plug. That's Tosfos says. We don't distinguish, and we say no schiras rishus is required. I hope that was a little bit more clear than the first case. The third case I'm going to bring involves tfisas yad. We have a rule we've discussed in other shiurim that the rule is that forget the discussion about Jews and non-Jews. In the event that there are multiple homes that are along a chatzir, and you have multiple families living in them, however, one landlord has property in each of them, has access to each of them, such that we call it tefisas yad. We talked in other shiurim about what tefisas yad is. But fundamentally, there is one landlord, and he has access to all of them. And that converts multiple homes to a single residence, such that you won't require an eruv, because he is effectively the balabayas in all of them. So, question now. If tfisas yad works to convert multiple homes to a single residence as far as requiring an eruv, will it also work to say that it's all one Jew living among non-Jews, and therefore there's no requirement to rent from the non-Jews? Or, well, I say no, Jews commonly live that way, they're unafraid, and therefore you can't get away with doing this. So the Ma'aril is quoted in the Beis Yosef. I brought it in Source Yitzayim, but I'm going to say it outside. The Ma'aril says that in such a case, the Akum will fear to harm the Jews. Therefore, Jews do live there commonly, and therefore the Gzera applies, even though they're a one halachic resident. That's the position of the Ma'aril. And the Ramah, in fact, paskins that way in Shin Pei Beis. Aleph saying tefisas yad of the landlord will not work to exempt from the schirus obligation, the rental obligation. They're still going to require rental. that's their position. However, the Bir Halacha quotes the Gra, and others who are surprised by this, the Bir Halacha, I quoted you in Yud Ches, quotes the Vilna Gaon, and says, what are you talking about? He says, when it comes to Mekabalei Pras, right, people who are eating off of a single table, so to speak, they're getting their food and they're taking it home to eat, they're viewed as one resident. The same thing should be true here, and the Bir Halacha seems to want to put a low plug to all cases that we view as single resident, regardless of the likelihood of living there. So what I hope I've shown is that when it comes to the reasoning of a single Jewish resident being uncommon, there is a tendency, at least among some, to say, any way in which you end up with a single resident, he will not require schiras rishus, even if it's common to live in such a single resident situation. Okay, that was an item I wanted to finish up from the previous shiur. The basic rule is that a group of Jews count as one resident if one of the two following conditions is satisfied. Either they live in one house, right? That's one possibility. I brought you in Sursiyatet, the simple language of the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis, Aleph, the Achu Shnei Yisraelim B'Shnei Batim, two Jews in two houses. So if they live in one house, no need for Schiras Rishus. Or, this is the Mishnah Berurah's understanding, they live in multiple houses, but in a circumstance in which they don't require an Eruv from each other. Such as the case that we talked about of Tfisas Yad. Maybe I shouldn't give a Tfisas Yad case, because we just said that not everybody's going to agree with going to Tfisas Yad. But let's say Mekabalei Pras. If they're in circumstances in which they don't require an Eruv from each other, then they don't, then they count as one resident as far as this issue of Schiras Rishus is concerned. The Mishnah Berurah says that in Shin Pei Beis Gimel, I brought it in Chaf, and he's basing himself on the Beis Yosef. The Shaar Tzion quotes a Domesek Eliezer, who doesn't know a source for this Kula at all, but he notes that the Rosh himself, the Shaar Tzion notes that the Rosh in Chaf Aleph Dalet, it's Chulos HaRash, does sound like this Beis Yosef. I looked in the Rush. I wasn't so sure what he was drawing on. I saw that the questioner there sounded like this. I wasn't clear on the Rush's response. That's the basic rule, though. If they live in one house, or if halachically they are considered to be one resident. What if they live in multiple residences that are in a single building? Then what do you do? An apartment building. So what's the status then? So from the language of the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis Aleph, where it said Bishnei Batim, so it sounds like rooms in one house are one residence, and no rental required. That's what it sounds like. And the Beis Yosef quotes the Maharil, we saw it already above, with a similar approach. He says, look, they're still afraid of the Akum when they live in one house, and therefore they won't live there, and therefore we're okay. That's the position of the Maharil, which we quoted before. The Nesiva Shabbos expands on this. He notes that Rashi and Tzamach Aleph Amud Beis is the source for the language of the Shulchan Aruch of Shnei Batim. If you take a look at source Chaf Aleph, it's Rashi, Achu Shnei Yisraelim, Rashi writes, Darim B'Shnei Batim, two Jews living in two houses. That's when we require Schiras Rishus, Va'osu and Zelzeh, and so on. And he quotes the Me'iri, the Nesiva Shabbos is the one who's pointed this out, it's in Lamed Vav Ha'ara Yud Beis. So take a look at the Me'iri in source Chaf Beis. The Me'iri writes, Afilu Hayu Harbe B'Bayis Achas Ein Ha'akum Oser. He says, even if there are many Jews living in one house, it doesn't make a difference, you won't require the rental. Why? Because the Akum will not be insecure about harming the Jew. Assuming he wants to harm the Jew, he's not going to care about, oh no, there are multiple Jews there. Only there being multiple houses. What's going to stop him. If there were two houses which were run by Jews, lived in by Jews, and there's only one Jew in each house, then you have to rent. Because he assumes there are two houses, there must be many Jews there, and therefore, even if I'm angry at that Jewish neighbor of mine, I worry that maybe he's not vulnerable. That's the position taken by the Me'iri, that's the position that we see in the Maharil. The Prima Gadim is not so sure of this. In source Pei Gimel, He is not so sure at all that that you should say this, that as long as it's in one building, it's okay. The Shaar HaTzion takes it as a given within the Magen Avraham that two rooms are considered two separate residences. I don't care if they're in a single structure. That's the Shaar HaTzion in Chaf Dalet. As we discussed when I originally gave this shiur, certainly you have to think an apartment building is going to count as multiple residences, such that you'd have to require an Erev Chatzeros. I can't imagine that anybody believes that in an apartment building we're going to consider them all to be a single resident and say Jews are afraid to live in that apartment building. I think that would be very hard to sustain. So that's one point. And then a second point, a group of Jews who are mevatel to each other are still considered multiple residents. Them being mevatel just to each other doesn't help, and that's the Gemara in Source Chafei. From Erevin Samachin Lebetz Samachdal Adabad Aleph, we get the story. There was a non-Jew named Lachman Baristak who lived on this alley. They wanted to rent for him, and he said no. So they come to Abaye, and they say, Abaye, what are we supposed to do? So he said, what you should do is do Bittul Rishus to one of you. All of you suspend your rights and say it's his. However, Bittul Rishus works, which really is its own discussion. So, therefore, now you're all a single resident, and therefore, you don't need to do any rental now. You're all one resident. So, Amrulay, they replied to him, the only reason that works, the sole resident, is because people don't usually live that way. But here they are, they're living that way. So Amar Lahu, to which he replied, he says, anytime you're going to have everybody being mevatel their reshus to one person, that is unusual. Milsad lo shchicha lo gazu barabana, and the rabbana did not make a decree for such a case. So Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua tells us to Rava, Amar Lahim can be told to Taras Erev Yosem Mavoi. Rava says, what are you talking about? That no one's ever going to do Erev anymore. They'll never do Erev. They'll all be Mevata Rishus to one guy, and that'll be that. No, Dema Arvi. We'll have him do an Erev. Yomer Erev Mol Makom Nachri. Then people are going to think Erev works with a non-Jew there. You don't require Schirus. Dema Chazinon. No, Dema Chazinon. We'll announce it. Achraz Eladar Diki. And what about the kids? Not to mention all the people who don't listen in shul during announcements. Then what are you going to do? Hello, I'm a Rava. So Rava comes up with his own solution to the problem. But the conclusion does seem to be, like Rava, that Bittul Rishus is not actually going to work, if only because we don't like the ramifications of accepting it. Okay. So what's our solution? Our solution is that you rent from the Akum. And that's the Gemara in Erevin, Samach Beis, Amud, Aleph. I brought it again here in Source of Vav. If you have Jews and non-Jews living on the chatzer, the Erev doesn't work. Even if he gives food, it's not going to work. The Bittul Rishus is not going to work either. So what do? You rent from him. That's what you have to do. Remember, we say that his residence doesn't count for Erev Rishus, for Erev Chatzeros. It didn't require Erev Chatzeros. Therefore, of course, Erev Chatzeros doesn't work from him. He didn't need an Erev Chatzeros. No one needed an Erev Chatzeros because of his presence. Rather, the issue was they wanted to discourage the Jews from living under such circumstances, and therefore they said, we're going to make you rent from him. My time up. And he won't, and he will refuse to rent. My time. What's the reason? Why won't he rent? So if you're going to tell me he won't rent out because he's afraid that the Jew is later going to claim that it's actually his, that's not so, because what's actually happened is a very weak form of rental, as we'll discuss in another shiur. Rabbi Ziering is going to discuss that. Rather, the concern is, he says, this is all game. These Jews are doing some kind of weird voodoo with this rental thing, and he's concerned about kshafim. He's concerned, who knows what they're doing with this property, so what kind of witchcraft is this? And therefore, he will decline to rent to you. Now, from the Gemara, it seems very clear that what we're saying is, we're requiring this rental agreement because it's impossible for you to actually get it. But that's not the way Rashi expresses it. Rashi seems to say the concern is simply, or not the concern is, the goal is that it should be such an arduous and expensive process that you're going to say, why bother? And you won't move in the first place. Or having moved in, you'll leave. So Chazayin, Rashi says, they made it a burden and they caused it to be a loss for the Jew who dwells there. So that he will find it difficult to pay every single Shabbos, and he will leave. Now, why you're going to have to do this every Shabbos. So this might go back to the question of whether you need to set up a new Erev every Friday. Or that may be the rationale. However, the Rosh in Erevin Vav Aleph says, no, it's not that you have to set up an Erev Chatzeros every Friday. Rather, the reason is because he may back out at some point, and then you're going to have to go satisfy him all over again and do a rental all over again, and you're at his mercy. Okay. Two notes on this requirement of renting from the Akum. First of all, when we saw the case of Lachman Bar Yitzchak before, and we said, oh no, what am I going to do? He doesn't want to rent. Then Abaye gave his solution of having all the Jews be Mevatel Rishus to one. And Rava said, I don't like that solution at all. So what was Rava's solution? It's source Chavtas, the continuation of that Gemara. Elo, Amar Rava, Lezel Chad Binayu, Likrav Lei, V'lishol Minei Duchta. What should happen is, somebody should ultimately get close to him, and once they're close to them, they should ask him, you know what, do me a favor, would you lend me access, I could put stuff in a certain place within your yard. He should put something there. He will be like the employee of that, the living employee of that non-Jew. Now, there are two different ways to understand what's going on here. Once he has access to that place. The Torah's framing in Source Lamed is the following. V'meina rotza lahaskir, ein yuchol liskor mi meno bal karacha. You can't force him to rent it out. V'zat hakanosam, so this is what you do. She'echem v'achotze yiskari ve'lova she'ashlo shum makam v'rishu so litim bo shum dover, just straight out of the Gemara. Get him to lend you a space. V'nim tzezek yilu schiro likito, then he is like the non-Jews live-in worker, v'darimo v'beiso, living in his house, v'no sein eruv b'shvilo, v'dayo, he can then give an eruv on behalf of that residence. That's the position of the tour. Effectively, it's now a Jewish residence, and therefore counts towards the eruv. However, the Rambam doesn't use that language. The Rambam writes in Source Lamed Aleph, shom en agoy makom lanich bo chafatza v'hishilo, harei nishtatev imo v'yishuso, the Jew becomes a partner in the domain, umaskir shalom idaito, and then the Jew turns around and rents it to everybody else. That's the idea. So there's actually a rental that then has to happen. The Beis Yosef explains in Source Lamed Beis that he accepts the Rambam's view. He also seems to think the Torah accepts the Rambam's view that there's actually a rental going on. And he says the Chachamim required renting. That's the bottom line. From the non-Jew, they didn't want to be so strict as to require renting from the owner davka, since the whole thing is a derabanan, and therefore they allowed for this exception. Both views are brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis Yud Beis. The Bir Halacha, that's point number one, is that barring the Rishus and then renting it out potentially may be an option. Second point is, in terms of the order of things, can you do the Eruv, set up your Eruv, and then do a rental later from the non-Jew? So the Bir Halacha says the order really ought to be rental first and then Eruv, because your Eruv is meaningless unless you do the rental. So which I certainly would understand if we say that no rental is involved from the non-Jew. If you just say that the Jew becomes like a resident there and now he's participating in the Eruv, I certainly understand why you would make that, why that would make sense. That's what he says you're supposed to do. And he says you certainly can't make a bracha on the Eruv until you've done the Skirus. But b'di'eved, if the order is reversed, it's still valid because the Erev kicks in at Ben HaShmashos, not when you make it. And at that point, Skirus and Erev are gone. So that's a second point of interest. Okay. Now, last piece to this shir. Who qualifies as either non-Jew or non-observant Jew in terms of triggering this law of Skirus Rishus? So first of all, what if a Jew has a non-Jewish tenant? The tenant is renting from me. So the Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh, as well as the Magid Mishnah and Erevin Beis Yud, say that you didn't rent to him with the idea that he should prohibit access for you. And therefore it's okay, and that's brought in the Ramah. The Avodas HaKodesh also brings a second explanation. He says it's unusual for a Jew to be the one renting out in this particular circumstance, and therefore the Gezerah the Gezerah requiring rental, requiring a Skiras Rishus, will not apply. I brought you both of these in the Avodas HaKodesh. Dalet Kuf Gimel in source Lamed Dalet. He says Shlohisha Vahiskir Lo Adayat Shal Das Sheyesor Olav number one. And further, Rain Darko Shal Yisor Al Hashal Haskir Bais Lagoy Bechatzer Shushar Bisalcha. It's just not done. Okay, I'm fitting in with the general issue of insecurity over the centuries, which we've already discussed. The Bir Alacha asks how this works for the rest of the residents of the area. In other words, maybe you didn't rent to him having in mind that he should ruin things for you. What about everybody else? So if you take a look at source Lamed Hey, he has a pasha, the lav dafka alav eino oser. It's not just that he is fine, ela gam alacherim adarim shameinu oser, but also others who live there are going to be fine. Why? Dim lokein my halila bomer meinu oser alav, because otherwise what good does it do for the landlord? Kevin shoser alacherini v'tilt, all since it's ruining things for everybody else, memela gam hua ser shacherim oser alav, so therefore he won't be allowed either. They're all of a Greek. However, that leads to a question. What if the landlord is an absentee? He doesn't live there. He rented out his yard to the other Jews, as well as to the non-Jew. So, etc. Maybe then the Rama's argument of, well, he didn't want this to happen when he rented it out. Maybe that is no good. And then the non-Jew will in fact prohibit for them. They're going to need to rent from him and so forth. And he says that's the Chavid Moshe's position, that's the Birkei Yosef's position. And he himself is sympathetic to that position because he says, I don't like this whole idea that, oh, well, I didn't rent to him for that. Who invented that idea? He doesn't like it. He says the Gra doesn't like it either. He's concerned about Shema Yemu Mimasov. Ultimately, the Bir Alacha says, no. Limit the heter to the case where the Baal HaBayis actually resides there. That's number one. Number two, what do you do with a housekeeper case? So the Prima Gadim in Eshel Avram Beis, on Simon Shin Pei Beis, I brought it for you in Lamed Vav, says Yisosh, Yeshlam Shreis Akum, Yeshlam Arda Oser. Yeah, that could be a problem. The Das Torah on the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Beis Aleph, disagrees because he says, you could say, it's just like renting with having in mind that you know, this tenant should not prohibit. So certainly you didn't bring in a housekeeper with the idea that the housekeeper should prohibit. Okay, that's in terms of the non-Jewish tenant of a Jew. What about the non-observant case? So we're only going to start on this, and then the rest of it we're going to have to finish on Tuesday. But there are two separate concerns that come under the heading of there's non-observant Jew living in the yard. Concern number one is he doesn't believe in Eruv. And if he doesn't believe in Eruv, then his Eruv Chateros is meaningless, because he doesn't actually join with the others. That's one concern. Concern number two, if he doesn't believe in Jewish law, in, you know, Gadol, and, you know, broadly, he, for various halachos, actually has the status of a non-Jew. And therefore, he can't make an Eruv. And therefore, his Bittul also doesn't work, because with non-Jews, we require Schirus. Right, which then raises a question, because what if we only accept schiras from non-Jews? That's actually something we have to still get to. So the Chazon Ish says that the idea that's operating here is, in fact, in this idea of the Jew who doesn't believe in Jewish law. The Jew who doesn't believe in any halacha, not just in Eruv, is like the non-Jew as far as the original Erev Chatzeros decree to begin with. Meaning, his dira doesn't count, and therefore there's no need for Siris Rishus from him. However, they decreed regarding non-Jews to require Siris Rishus, Shema Yomim Masav, lest you learn from him. In other words, the bottom line is, the logic according to the Chazon Ish is Shema Yomim Masav. I brought it for you in source Lamed Zayin. Ki heichad diras hakam lo shema dira min adin, hachanami diras mumer v'stuki, lo chashivu chacham diras, and lein takanas every v'chazeros, ela mishum Shema Yomim Masav, v'tzichum z'chirus. His residence doesn't count. However, Shema Yomod, therefore, recounted. The Shaar HaTzion says this very clearly in discussing the Tzduki case. He says, the whole Ikar HaTam, the Gazu Ba'akum Kadesh, Yomod Mimasav, the reason for the decree of Schirus regarding a non-Jew is lest you learn from him. So, in Kain Kam, but Tzduki Shaar HaTzion, the same thing is going to apply for a Tzduki. Kim Adachopanim is Naik Ba'akum, since he acts
in the manner of a non-Jew, why do I care that he's only doing it because his parents did it? The bottom line is that other Jews are going to learn from his conduct. And that's really the beginning, middle, and end of the conversation. So that's the position of the Charetzion. I thought it's also possible to argue that it's simply low plug. He's in the category of non-Jew for certain other halakhos, like Ribis, for example, where he loses the family protection. So maybe he's in that category for this and simply say low plug. I haven't seen anybody say that. Question. Should we require schiras rishus if there is one observant Jew living among the non-observant Jews? Right? There are two reasons to argue that, yes, we should require schiras rishus, and we shouldn't say, well, there's only one Jew, and therefore he's exempt from it. Number one, because clearly it's common to live there. He's not afraid that they're going to attack him, I think. And number two, because the point of counting him as an akum is considered a chumrah. It's meant to be strict. Yeah, we're going to require schiras rishus. Not a kula to say, well, if they're all considered like non-Jews, then therefore the lone Jew is not going to have to do a rental. That would be a remarkable leniency, defeating the chumrah. Right? I mean, that's effectively what we'd be doing. We'd be defeating the chumrah in the case where it's one Jew, one observant Jew, among the non-observant. So the Nesiva Shabbos, in Lamed Vav, Ha'ara Tzadi Dalet, notes that this is actually stated by Rabbi Kiva Eger, quoting the Ebenezer Ozer. I brought you Rabbi Kiva Eger in Source Lamed Tes. And there he says the following, Yisrael Mumer V'chidusha Ebenezer Ozer, Pechesim Lidbeis, Tosfos, etc. The Yachan Makum Mumer Ozer, that a lone dati Jew with the mumrim is going to prohibit. Because even though he has sinned, for this we're going to say he's still considered a Jew. However, he says, then you can do bittul. We're not going to pile on contradictory chumros and say, well, we consider him a Jew in the sense that now you have to do schiras rishus. But we're not going to consider him a Jew to permit bittul. That far we will not go. We will accept bittul. Chazon Ish says this as well in Peizayin Yud Aleph. The Chazon Yecheskel on the Tosefta in Erev in Perek Hey says that the Vilna Gaon was Magia. He edited a Tosefta to say, yeah, we don't just apply it lakula. However, the Nesiva Shabbos quotes Rav Wozner, citing a view that says differently in the Rambam in Source Mem. You know, I'm not going to go into this right now. I think I'd rather not go into this at this stage. Okay. Brings us to the last area, and that's the issue of defining lack of belief. I think we'll pick up with that in Shir, God willing, on Tuesday.